From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made this past February when former New York City mayor and former presidential candidate Rudolph Giuliani made some remarks about President Barack Obama. Giuliani set off a bit of an uproar in February when he said, quote, "I do not believe the president loves America." He went on to say that President Obama, quote, "wasn't brought up the way you were brought up and I was brought up, through love of country." St. John Fisher College had booked Rudolph Giuliani to give the 2015 commencement address, which happens to be this coming Saturday. But after Giuliani's remarks about the president, 49 members of the Fisher faculty wrote a letter to the college president, Donald Bain, asking that Giuliani's invitation be rescinded. Despite his past leadership, the faculty wrote, in the last decade, Giuliani has unfortunately shrunk to become controversial, a divisive ideologue. But the president of St. John Fisher College said no to that request. So on Saturday, Rudolph Giuliani will deliver the commencement at St. John Fisher. And a number of St. John Fisher students have expressed some of their own concern about this. They feel like some of their professors were essentially trying to sabotage a big event for them. They've got a big name speaker. And as we said to start the hour, if you attended college, if you graduated, maybe you remember your commencement speaker, maybe you don't. St. John Fisher will almost certainly remember Rudolph Giuliani. He is a big name. Let me bring in some of the professors who were signers on that letter, and we're also going to hear from some St. John Fisher students this hour as we talk about commencement addresses, representing values, free speech, which is an idea that's been tossed around here, and we'll see if that fits. The professors in studio with me for the hour, Stephen Brower, a St. John Fisher English professor. Nice to see you, Stephen.
Thanks for having us.
And also here is Jenna Rossi, a St. John Fisher American Studies professor. Jenna, thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, we do expect to have some St. John Fisher students join the conversation this hour. I've had a chance to talk to a number of them in the last 24 hours. We'll get their take as well. If you want to join the conversation, you can call toll-free 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Jenna Rossi, what's wrong with Rudolph Giuliani giving the commencement address this Saturday at St. John Fisher?
Well, I'm speaking for myself today.
Sure.
But in the letter that the 49 faculty signed, we really talked about the idea of our ideals at Fisher, overcoming prejudice, engaging tolerance, and appreciating diversity. And just basically in the letter stated that we didn't feel that the speaker reflects someone who had respect for all members of our diverse student body and our Fisher family.
Okay, and what specifically for you?
For me, it was inflammatory language. In recent issues with Ferguson and talking about the president, the quote you just mentioned, and it's not his role in 9/11, not his politics, not his political party. We welcome all different kinds of you, and Steve could really talk more to that about who's been at graduations.
Well, this is an important point, because Jenny, you've been on the Fisher faculty for how long?
9 years.
9 years. And Stephen, how long?
16.
16. Has the faculty ever protested a commencement
speaker
in your time?
None that I know of. No, none that I know of. And we've had a wide variety of people from the political spectrum. We've had Tom Ridge recently when he was head of the
Homeland Security,
excuse me. We've had Peggy Noonan. We've had Juan Williams. We've had people from both sides of the spectrum, and I don't have any memory of any faculty member or group of faculty members saying this is not okay.
Okay, and some of those names should be familiar to our listeners, but for example, Peggy Noonan used to be one of Ronald Reagan's speechwriters, and she has become one of the most consistent columnists on the right.
Yeah.
And she spoke at Fisher a few years ago.
Sure.
How'd it go?
It went great. It went very well. We've had Doris Kearns Goodwin, more associated with the left. David McCullough a few years ago that I think went people spoke very highly of.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a variety of people, and they've done a nice job. And so far as I would say, my sense is students and faculty have been happy with the experiences.
Okay. And so that being said, there is this idea that in academia, well, you're only going to book people on the political left. It sounds to me like there's been an effort to create a balance.
Absolutely, and I think the college, the president, and the trustees have done a nice job over the last, as I said, 15 years of trying to represent a variety of perspectives and ways that I hope our whole community appreciates.
All right, so I asked Jenna, let me ask you the same question then. If you have not protested a speaker in the past, whether it's Peggy Noonan or David McCullough or otherwise, what about Rudolph Giuliani convinced you to sign that letter and say he should not be allowed to speak?
Sure, thanks. I'm going to come to the to the quote you had before when he spoke about the president and how he said he doesn't love you, he doesn't love me, he wasn't brought up the way you and I were brought up. I'm curious in that notion of who the you is, right? At Fisher, I think we're very good at talking about the us. And that's what we talk. We use this phrase, the Fisher family. And it's something I think that we all sort of believe in. When I see that type of rhetoric, what I see is someone who's dividing rather than uniting. And one of the things that I think we work very hard on at our campus is the notion of positive leadership, leading through positivity, through embracing respect, diversity, responsibility, things that our students many years ago wrote down in our Fisher Creed, another thing we mentioned in our letter, these values and aspirations that they have that they want to try to embody. For me, there was a disconnect between what the students, we asked them to sign this at matriculation. Commencement is the culmination of what we begin at matriculation. The students all signed that day. It's a lovely ceremony. 4 years later, hopefully, they're walking out the door, diploma in hand, excited. And so it felt like there was a disconnect between what we asked them to embrace when they come in and then this person we're honoring at the end who's using a rhetoric of you and I versus him or them that seemed to be divisive in a way that doesn't fit with who we, with who we want to be and who we are.
You're hearing from Stephen Brower, a St. John Fisher English professor, and Jenna Rossi, St. John Fisher American Studies professor. And as I mentioned, reached out to a number of St. John Fisher students who are going to be graduating on Saturday. One of them is Zach Cedrulli, who graduates on Saturday. He has just joined us in studio. So thank you for taking the time to hustle down here to the studio. Nice to see you, Zach.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
I want to make clear for our audience and certainly the people in this studio is, on this program, sometimes we have people who disagree. I think Stephen and Jenna, when they reached out about this program, indicated, absolutely, bring on those with opposing views. That's okay. We can agree to disagree on certain things, but we should talk about the principles of why we've taken certain stands, et cetera. Okay. Zach, I know you, as a student, are excited to have Rudolph Giuliani on Saturday. And I know you've heard some of the arguments. So let me just start with a basic question. Rudolph Giuliani coming to St. John Fisher as a student, what does it mean to you?
When I first got that initial email that Rudy Giuliani was going to be our guest speaker, I told my father, and we were both kind of excited. I think we tend to have that kind of mindset a little bit of his views, but what he was able to do, you know, post 9/11, I think was absolutely incredible, and I think that does tap into the leadership aspect of it a little bit. I understand that he's said some things that I don't agree with. But if I had a nickel for every time I said something I wish I could take back, mm-hmm. you know, I'd probably be somewhere really, really tropical right about now.
Well, and I think that is a fair and an important point to ask the professors about. Again, 49 professors signing this letter to the president saying, cancel his invitation. The president of the college said no, so Giuliani's going to speak. But Stephen and Jen, let me ask you then. Zach brings up the point we all say stupid things sometimes. I certainly do. And if Rudy Giuliani came back after those remarks about President Obama and he said, well, I didn't mean to question his patriotism, even though it sort of seemed like he did question his patriotism. But he said, look, I didn't mean it that way. And even if he did mean it that way, do you disqualify someone based on one comment or two comments? What's the bar for you, Stephen?
Sure. Thanks. For me, I think it has to do, I agree, we all make mistakes, sometimes daily. I'm a parent, heck. I can imagine that there are, especially public figures, have moments of mistakes and miscues. It seems to me in the last 9 months or so that the former mayor has had a pattern of mistakes that seem particularly divisive in terms of some issues, especially about race. It's been obviously a very tricky time in the last 9 months or so in America, we have an opportunity for real discussions about some of these issues. As you said, Zach, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
as you said, he has a history of being an important city and even national leader about 14 years ago that was very important, I think, for our country and that we all respect. And so there were, but where things stand now, I'm not sure I've seen that same type of leadership. I see a leadership that doesn't bring together the city of New York to stand tall and to stand proud the way that we saw back then that was very moving for so many people. And I think that's part of what you were pointing to, that what I see now is a rhetoric that's more about dividing people, about talking about us versus them in ways that saddens me as someone. I'm a former New Yorker. I lived in New York during the first 7 years of his when he held office. So, I speak from someone who understands where he comes from. And you know, perhaps if this was 10 years ago in 2005, I think a lot more people would be like, I understand why. But it feels now that things have moved a little bit, that he's become a, this is why we use the word, I believe, ideologue, that it's a divisiveness that, as I said, it saddens me. And I want to make sure that we're embracing the best type of leadership we can.
But isn't Peggy Noonan an ideologue, and you had her speak?
Well, I think she's an ideologue in my experience and what I've read from her. And so I don't want to speak as an expert.
Sure.
I'm not a political scientist.
No, I understand.
I don't see her being divisive in quite the same way. And in a way, she has a position as a op-ed columnist, is that where she's paid and asked to take certain political positions. Those positions need not be positions that attack others or call into question the character of other people in ways that I think sometimes Mr. Giuliani has done. Ultimately, when we look at the Fisher Creed, the first word really is respect, right? And, you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about as a group of 49 people is how do we positively advocate, not protest, but how do we advocate for the things we believe in? And one of the things we talked about, how dissent is not the same thing as being disrespectful. We're not looking to be disrespectful, but we are looking to sort of frame our concerns in a way that are about the values we really want to stress.
All right, Professor Rossi, then, what's the bar for you? Someone says things that you don't agree with, and what's the line where you as a professor say, that's too far, I don't want them at our commencement?
Yeah, I think Zach made a couple good points, that we all say individual things, but part of what he was saying is things we wish we could take back, and I'm not seeing evidence that many of Giuliani's comments in the forums that he's had, which were public political interviews where he was on TV, on the radio, they're not private, number one. They're in a public forum, like an interview, like the one, I'm thinking of the one with Michael Eric Dyson that was about New York police, where he was saying, you know, he was using the word you to speak to African-American Michael Eric Dyson, white Giuliani, you know, black kids killing black kids, your people, the police officers are going in there, and he was, and I'm not getting it exactly, I'm trying to paraphrase the essence of it, but what he was saying is your people are killing your people, so if you can fix your community, then we don't need our police officers in there. And he was sort of making these false equations between a person who commits violence who then is likely to go to jail for that versus a police officer whose duty is to protect. So not to detract too much, but to me, the point of that was he's saying it in a public forum. He looked very emphatic about it. He didn't look at all like he wanted to take it back. He was speaking over the other speaker. So to me, that's the difference. It's when you're private, there's so much blur now between private and public, and it's not what you might individually say to someone in a grocery store. It's what you're publicly saying that you're about, which is not, to me, integrity. It's not mentorship. It's not respect and responsibility, which are other key parts of the Fisher Creed.
Okay, well, before I get to the phone calls, and let me say, if you're waiting on the phone, we're coming to you soon. John, Ron, there's a number of others who are, the phones are lighting up, and we're going to get to your phone calls. I want to make sure I answer an important procedural question here that came in on Twitter. Caleb just wanted to make sure we're clear on something. Was this really about rescinding an invitation to speak or merely the awarding of an honorary degree?
That's a terrific question.
Yeah, because most of the time when you see commencement speakers, there's often an honorary degree conferred. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, that'll be the case on Saturday for Rudolph Giuliani. Yes?
Yes, it is. And that's actually was the primary objection we had, exactly about the ways in which we've been trying to speak that in terms of the values that he's been embodying as of late. We've had some people talk about notions of free speech, and I'm sure we'll get to that more. But in our letter, we say, actually quite clearly, we'd be happy to invite Mr. Giuliani to campus so that there can be a free exchange of ideas. And that sounds like a terrific forum for our students mm-hmm. to have and our faculty and staff, a great learning experience all the way around. We're not trying to shut down that conversation. In fact, we're trying to embrace. Commencement speeches tend not to be conversational. They tend to be one person sort of passing down wisdom. And Mr. Giuliani may well have that. But our primary concern was the awarding of the honorary degree.
Okay. Once again, the president, Donald Bain, turned down the request, yes. and so he'll be here, he'll be getting that degree, he'll be speaking, and what was the procedure? Who booked him? I don't actually understand that process.
Yeah, you know, Zach's looking at me.
I don't really know.
I'll be honest, you know, Evan, I'm not sure that many people who I've spoken to know, and so I'm even not 100% sure, because I can say this, I've spoken to a couple senior-level administrators who said, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. Their sense was it came out of the president's office. I assume it had something to do with trustees. I think that's a fair bet.
Yeah.
But The president has said he consulted with students and faculty and staff. I don't know who those people are.
Okay.
We'd have to ask him.
Okay. And what I want to do is I tried to find the most recent Giuliani commencement speech I could find.
Sure.
He spoke a couple years ago at University of Pennsylvania Law School commencement. And Caleb writes to us on Twitter and says, "For me, the issue with Rudy Giuliani is not his politics, but rather he's unlikely to give a positive, future-oriented talk. I don't know if Caleb will change his mind. Let's listen to a minute of Rudolph Giuliani. This is a couple of years ago speaking to the University of Penn Law School commencement."
You have to train yourself to absorb setbacks and problems, whether they're in your legal career, in your business life, or in your personal life. And then after you absorb them, you've got to turn around and start thinking about the solution to the problem. I learned that from the judge that I was privileged to be a law clerk for, Lloyd F. McMahon. He taught me that in working on cases and motions. And I tried to teach that to all the young lawyers I've ever had the opportunity to train, either in the U.S. Attorney's Office or the Justice Department or the law firm that I'm a partner in. I always try to teach them to do the following. Say, if you're going to come to me with a problem, I want you to come to me with the problem. But before you do, I want you to take a little time, if it isn't an emergency, and we have a little time, I want you to take a little time and sit at your desk, and I want you to think of the solution, not just the problem.
That's just a snippet of Rudy Giuliani talking at commencement, what we're maybe likely to hear. He might speak a little more broadly because it's not a law school graduation. It's a St. John Fisher College graduation on Saturday. But Zach Cedrulli is a St. John Fisher College graduating Saturday. What did you just hear in those remarks?
I kind of heard a little bit about what my dad's always told me, is that you're presented a problem, you need to sit down and keep working that problem until you eventually find a solution, and that doesn't matter. He related it to law, business, and personal. And I think that hits key points, and I believe that, you know, come Saturday, he will present to us that, you know, we need to step up to the plate, you know, and millennials all know this, we're already kind of selfish generation, but it is about us that day. And I'm looking forward to the message that he's going to present, but that basically explains to me that, you know, he expects a lot out of us, and that we're going to be facing challenges and opportunities that are going to be coming forth to us in our careers, and we just need to focus and make sure that we're executing.
Before those phone calls start coming in here, Jenna, what you just heard, is it relevant, the kind of speech he gives, or is it more symbolic to you? Because what I just heard is the kind of commencement speech a lot of people hear, which is positive, solve problems, how to work out problems based on his experience. If you get that from Rudy Giuliani on Saturday, would you change your mind?
I think that sounded inspiring. I have no problem with people who talk about you're going to face challenges and things like that. I think there's two things that maybe that we have to look at, the bigger picture and the smaller picture. The smaller picture is, who is you? Because if it's about us, and if it's about you, our students, or us as Fisher students, does that mean white students, students of color? Is it everybody? There have been some students who have come to different faculty expressing their discomfort that they didn't feel comfortable publicly saying, but they would tell an individual professor. They did not want him as a speaker because of racialized speech and a lot of inflammatory comments. There were other people who said, no, that I actually am not even paying attention to sort of the political Giuliani of late. I just care about him and his 9/11 role. And I think the bigger thing that we can't ignore is just the national climate now. If this was 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think we would have had 49 faculty. And I'm speaking for myself, not for 48 other people. But my hunch is that it's the national climate now, and as more and more we're seeing racial violence in responses to it on TV all the time, it's up in our radar. And so one concrete thing happens that we feel we could have a voice on. My hunch for myself is that I think that's what leads people to coalesce. And I think we can't consider it outside of American cultural moment at this time.
Stephen?
Evan, you had a question a minute ago about process. And Zach, you were saying, like, this sounds like a very positive moment. One of the things that has struck us in the conversation we've had in the last 2 weeks is the very notion that very few of us know what the process is. So one of the things we're most hoping, I don't think any of us particularly thought, oh, the president will say, you're right, we're going to rescind this invitation.
Right.
But what we've been actually excited to hear about is a little more conversation about, well, how does this happen? Who's chosen? And Zach, you're like, I don't know how it happens. And I don't know any faculty member who does. So I guess one of the things we're wondering is, well, how can we be more inclusive of that conversation? Mm-hmm. One of the things that struck many of us when we first heard this announcement was it seems particularly interesting this year with someone who's been in the news in some problematic ways. Mm-hmm. So where was the conversation that went into this selection? Who was included in that? How can we be inclusive? Especially, I would imagine, students want to be involved in that conversation. As Zach said, it's a lot about them and their families, very proud, and have made a serious financial and timely time commitment to this education. There may be space for faculty in that conversation. But we're hoping, you know, we have a possibility of a lot of beginnings. So we have a new president coming in over the summer. Dr. Jerry Rooney's coming in. We're hopeful that perhaps something that can come out of here that's very positive is how do we keep opening up this conversation that we're all included, so that some students who feel uncomfortable with this selection of Mr. Giuliani, do they feel comfortable saying this aloud? I had some faculty members who said to me, I really liked your letter. I didn't feel comfortable signing it. I wanted to sign it. I didn't feel comfortable.
Okay. Ron in Palmyra called the program and wanted to make a point. Ron says, it's the students' commencement, not the faculty. And Zach, do you agree with that?
I think so. I think you made a couple of really interesting points. I guess I was always under the impression that the faculty were playing a role in that decision factor, and I guess I was mistaken.
They've not played a formal role that I know of. There may be some faculty members consulted, but I do not know of any personally. I've never had anyone tell me they were ever involved in that selection.
Well, one of the things that came out of it is, again, I didn't think we'd rescind the offer. My thought was perhaps not the honorary degree, and to have a different.
Right.
Several faculty have mentioned a different process going forward, and we want to draw attention to it, not disrupting the students, but for concern for the students who had come to individual professors saying, look, I'm not comfortable for this, and all the parents. Students may not be as aware of more recent politics, but their parents. So think of a parent of color or just a parent politically or otherwise who's just feeling so uncomfortable with that speaker. They're there because of their family, because of their son or daughter, and they want to be able to enjoy that, and they're forced to listen to this person. So I feel like it should be a person that is reflective of our creed and our values.
Okay, but back to the question or the point that Ron made. Is this your day, Zach, or is it all of St. John Fisher College's day?
I think it kind of goes, it's a two-way street. I think it absolutely goes both ways. I've been waiting for this day. I went to MCC, and then my father's a Fisher graduate as well, so it's a fairly emotional day for our family.
Sure.
I would say it's about us, but then it's about, you know, myself becoming the next step in the Fisher family.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's about us.
Okay.
I would say.
Professors, to Ron's point, he says it's about the students, not the faculty on Saturday. Is that fair enough?
I think the spotlight's absolutely on the students and their achievements and on congratulating them for their hard work. It's been a lot of work. Faculty members are expected to be there. It's a conferral of an academic degree. We're asked to be there in a way to represent that aspect. That's what the graduation stands for, the completion of the academic requirements. I would say we do have a place in that ceremony, and that's why we're asked to be there. I feel very aware that I'm not the focus. I can't imagine anyone spending a lot of time thinking about me and my presence there.
No, it's all for the students. That's why I cared, because I'm thinking of some students who would be really offended by this. It's all about the students.
Okay. Zach, do you want to jump back in?
So I think that going forward with Dr. Rooney, I think that, you know, the professors I've had at St. John Fisher have really helped me not only be, you know, grow as a student, but as an individual and as a more morally sound, you know, human being.
Terrific.
And I think that going forward, they should play a role. And I think some students should as well. I believe Chris played a role and he voiced his opinion.
Chris Genrich, who's student government outgoing president.
He's the outgoing president. And I think the professors should have a role in that decision factor, as well as maybe have a committee of students that they throw in a couple of names.
I think on a process question, there's a lot of agreement on those things.
Sure, absolutely.
Maybe there was confusion about how certain speakers are selected. Whether or not Zach and the professors will agree on what happened Saturday, at least maybe we'll see a more transparent process going forward. Well, let's get a break. Come right back. The phone lines are lit up. Your phone calls straight ahead as we talk about Rudolph Giuliani coming to St. John Fisher College, being conferred with an honorary degree, and speaking at commencement on Saturday. The conversation continues next. Welcome back to Connections. For a moment, I want to introduce Gene Fisher. And Gene, my colleague here, to help explain to us why this is such an important week to have these kind of conversations. We need some help.
We do. And you need to be a big part of it. You know, Evan, as we've been, the staff and I have been listening to this conversation, we've all been talking about who was the commencement speaker when we graduated.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. And why was the person chosen and what did they do and what kind of impact it had, like sort of sending us out into the world. And I just, you know, wanted to share that my commencement, an honorary degree was awarded to the speaker, and I'm using air quotes, was jazz trumpeter Thad Jones. And instead of giving a speech, he brought his band with him and they played. And everybody got up and danced.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I doubt we'll see that this Saturday at Fisher. Yeah, but yeah.
But, you know, what the point of it all is that, you know, it's inspiring all of us in this building to think and talk, just as I'm sure it's inspiring so many people around the region, both in Rochester and in the Finger Lakes, to think about a topic like this. What does it mean to have a controversial speaker? What's the role of the student in all of this, and why are we doing it? And the only way that we can have these kind of conversations that for such a large area is because of member support. People that call and support their public radio station, it's 1-800-295-9994. That's a different number from our call-in number. But we have volunteers that are waiting to take your pledge of support and also your comments if you want to tell us what topics have made you think and talk with your colleagues and your friends, because that's what we're trying to do here is make it just a more interesting conversation and make more people in the community talk to each other. So once again, let me tell you that number is 1-800-295-9994. If you're listening in the Finger Lakes, you can go to WEOS.org. And if you're in Monroe County, you can go to WXXI.org/give and make your gift online. And thank you, Evan. Thank you for a wonderful program.
Well, thank you, Gene. I appreciate that. It's a very important week for all of us. All right, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the debate that St. John Fisher is, I'd say some of the members of the faculty and campus have been having about their commencement speaker. It's Rudolph Giuliani, former New York City mayor, former Republican presidential candidate. He'll be speaking Saturday. And Jenna, you said it's 9:30, is that right?
9:30.
It's an early commencement on Saturday at St. John Fisher.
Poor Zach.
Yeah, you're not going on Friday night, are you, Zach?
Not exactly.
Saturday morning is commencement, and Rudolph Giuliani will be conferred with an honorary degree. He'll speak. 49 members of the faculty of St. John Fisher wrote a letter to President Donald Bain asking that he not be conferred an honorary degree, asking that that invitation be rescinded. And the president said, no, they're going to go ahead and go forward with it. And we've got a couple of professors who signed that letter, along with Zach Cedrulli, who is a senior graduating Saturday, who is excited to have Mr. Giuliani. Let's get to your phone calls. And Tim in Pittsford is first. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Evan. I can't believe this is even an issue. As a liberal, and my wife, we were watching the news the other night, my wife is a liberal, too. We find ourselves rolling our eyes sometimes at these discussions. She brought up one of our favorite politicians, in all honesty, is Bill Clinton. And he gives commencement speeches. And the guy cheated on his wife in office. That was proven. And probably a few more times other than that. We're not a big fan of that. But we liked him politically. And I'm guessing conservatives really think Bill Clinton is divisive. And yet I've never heard of him being shut out of a commencement because of that. I don't think he's getting up there and saying how Republicans are bad or conservatives are bad. I think he's giving them probably an uplifting, encouraging speech, like I'm sure Rudy Giuliani would do the same thing. Us as liberals, we want everyone to accept us, be open until, you know, and then the other side may say something and we say to them, well, you're not accepting and open, and then we want them to be quiet. If we're going to be the accepting party here and we're going to be the accepting people, then let's put the free flow of ideas out there. Rudy Giuliani is not going to get up there and make some racist remarks. I'm sure he's going to give a great speech. And if this is what the professors at St. John Fisher are worried about how if they get to pick who is speaking at commencement, then there's something else wrong, because it should be up to good for Bain. I mean, it should be up to him. He's in charge. If the kids want to get involved in it, that's great too. But the professors are there to teach the kids how to go out into the real world and get a job and a career, not to decide who gets to, who on their political side of the aisle gets to speak at commencement. So let's just be open with everyone.
Tim, thank you for the phone call. And professors, strong words there. I'll start with you, Stephen. What do you think?
Sure. Well, I can say, you know, this letter came together over a short span of days, there were a lot of emails that went back and forth. There was a group writing effort, which, Zach, if you've had group projects, those are a little tricky to put together, right?
They can be, yes.
And I can report that at no time really was it did our conversations really focus on politics nor ideology. It really always focused on values. It always focused on who are we as a college, what's our mission statement say, what's the Fisher Creed say. And I appreciate that this might look that particular way. I think it's fair to say that these 49 professors would not all identify as liberal. They represent four of the five schools of the college. And the fifth school is all graduate students, and so we didn't really reach out to them because they have an afternoon ceremony themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were particularly looking to have it be a particular way of thinking. We're also not trying to argue that we should be the ones to decide. But as we said earlier, we would love a more transparent, more inclusive process that especially focused on the students and what the students think. I don't think it's hard to imagine students leading the way in that conversation.
Jenna?
Yeah, I have, I guess, a different take. To me, I totally agree about, you know, Clinton's personal life, and we know about that, but it's not about the personal relationships. It's about your public persona. And so it's not about what happened in Giuliani's personal life, but publicly his stance on issues of race. And it's also about tying it in with the national moment. So this isn't so much just about Fisher. It's about, you can look and read about Charles, New York Times columnist Charles Blow's son, who was accosted at gunpoint walking out of the Yale library working on a science project because he happened to be black on Yale campus, you know, prominent father, prominent college. The black female professor who was accosted walking to her car by a police officer. And so the personal becomes political, and it's about what students across the country undergo on campuses every day. Faculty of color, staff of color, students of color. I'm white, so I'm not speaking for myself. I'm reading things, I hear things, and I'm trying to imagine and be empathetic about students' discomfort and feeling uncomfortable because of political issues, and when the personal becomes political, not about what happens in people's personal life. And I think there's a huge difference there.
Let me also just mention that there is a history of some complaint, certainly not every speaker and not even every year, but there is a history in this country of campuses with some opposition to speakers. Most of the time there's opposition and the speaker still comes. Sometimes the speaker does not. We've seen some cancel based on that. President Obama in 2009 went to Notre Dame, and a number of pro-life Catholics on campus told Notre Dame they did not want the president there. They opposed his stance on abortion rights. And on May 17th, he gave that address, but dissenting students taped yellow crosses and baby feet pictures to their mortar boards. One protester shouted, "Baby killer." And there was an off-campus protest as well, a number of arrests. So, you know, so you see that happen. You go all the way back to Wellesley College, 1990. First Lady Barbara Bush was protested by 150 students there because they said she was not a good role model for modern women because she dropped out of Smith College to get married and became well-known only through the accomplishments of her husband. She obviously disagreed with that. So there is a history of dissent of some speakers. Most of the time, the speaker still comes, and then the question becomes, does the process start to change? And I think that's what we're seeing, at least in this case, is whether it's St. John Fisher students or professors, there's some questions about how the process works. And my guess is that will change going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, in our email conversations as we were composing this letter, we were very mindful of not necessarily disrupting a ceremony. And Chris came and spoke at, Chris Gettner came and spoke at and asked some questions at faculty assembly about disrupting the ceremony. And I'm one of the people who spoke that day and said, I know of no conversation of a faculty member looking to do that. That, in fact, what we've had in my conversations with individual and group members is, how do we use this as a moment for positive advocacy? Right. What do we say we believe in? How do we keep promoting that as much as possible, even if we feel like this speaker doesn't live by that? As I said, we don't think we particularly were going to get agreement from the president this was going to happen. But we did see as an opportunity to have this conversation that we could hopefully use in a positive way. And that seemed very important to us. Not so much disrupting an event, But using that event to keep and start a conversation and keep it going and generating with people like you and students and administrators.
I'm going to try to get through as many phone calls as we can for the rest of the hour because the phones are buzzing. Stephen Brower and Jenna Rossi are St. John Fisher professors. They signed that letter asking that the invitation to Rudolph Giuliani for Saturday's commencement and honorary degree for him be rescinded. Zach Cedrulli is a St. John Fisher student who is graduating on Saturday. Next up, Robert in Fairport. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I think it's kind of pathetic that you got a situation where a speaker's, you know, being vetted based on the fact that he might make some people in the audience uncomfortable. I mean, a lot of historical figures are people that make people uncomfortable. I mean, if you look at Abraham Lincoln, I'm sure a lot of people would have said he was a divisive figure in the 1800s. We had a civil war that was fought over some of the issues, slavery being one of them. So I just think it's kind of pathetic to talk about creating a conversation and then trying to ban a person at the same time. It just seems they're two different goals.
Robert, thank you.
We again, as we said in our letter, we'd be happy to have Mr. Giuliani on campus. We'd actually love that conversation. We're not trying to stop it from happening. And people like Zach and other people and faculty members, I think, would support him coming on that level. Go ahead.
I don't think people are clearly understanding is we want the I would like to see the faculty involved in the selection process. They've played a key role in my journey as a young man, and they've helped me through situations and problems, and they should be able to have a voice their opinion. And, you know, and they did it very, very well. It was executed very well. I'd love to hear from them too, but I understand where you guys are absolutely coming from. We've had a pretty rough stretch of years in terms of racially charged events, and that's extremely unfortunate. But I think that the conversation that we have generated or that the professors have generated is advocacy for, you know, I think that they should have and they think they should have a part in selecting the commencement speaker. And I agree with them. Absolutely.
Okay. A number of questions have come in about the cost of Mr. Giuliani's appearance. A couple of listeners said that their understanding is that Mr. Giuliani makes six figures per speech. For the cost of college being so high, who is paying Mr. Giuliani, and is that the right use of a college's dollars? I don't know the answer to that question.
Go ahead, Jack. You look like you had a...
I don't know. So I did the 2+2. I started at MCC. I paid my way through mm-hmm. there. So I did not have – I think I'm fortunate enough to not have the bills that some other students may have. I don't know. He does very well for himself outside of his commencement speeches, I don't think.
And so do the Clintons. So do a lot of people make a lot of money in sure. a lot of speeches. Yes.
It's probably not necessary. I understand he's taking the time out of his busy schedule to come meet with us, but he could also do it out of the kindness of his heart.
That's a very nice thought, and I'm sure Rudy Giuliani and Bill Clinton and those will really consider
we should send that along.
Free speeches. Yeah. Does anybody on this panel know exactly how much he's getting paid
and
where that money's coming from?
I don't know.
So that's a part of the process. Fair to say you'd like to know?
It's coming from, it must come from somewhere.
I'd like to know.
Can we funnel that into financial aid?
Yes.
Right?
That's a good, well, that's a question we can't answer, unfortunately, for those who've asked. Val in Rochester. Go ahead, Val.
Yes, I have a different concern about folks like Rudy Giuliani, and that's the concern with the prominence of ad hominem arguments in public discourse these days, where we move across the line from talking about ideas and even rigorously pursuing competing ideas, and then begin attacking the person and their integrity, their beliefs, and who they are as an individual. Abraham Lincoln never did that. In fact, I remember him once saying that he would hold the reins of McClellan's force if McClellan would win a battle or two. I'm just really concerned about teaching students the propriety of ad hominem arguments by making people who speak that way a primary speaker at a major event. I have very little respect for people that start attacking others, and that's why I would oppose someone like Giuliani speaking to students if I were responsible for them.
But Val,
that's my comment.
Val, one quick question then for you. Are you still there, Val?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I certainly understand that point, and I think at least I would hope the track record of this program indicates that there's not a whole lot of tolerance for ad hominems and that kind of stuff here. But most people in politics end up at one point or another resorting to ad hominem. And I know maybe some do it more than others, but you probably could find whether it's the president or Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or Rudolph Giuliani or Paul Ryan or Scott Walker. Ad hominem is sort of an unfortunate byproduct of an ugly political discourse to begin with these days, isn't it?
Well, and what does it say about us that it begins to become the norm?
I think
public
question.
Leaders have a very big responsibility. I am one. I am a pastor. My audience is relatively small, but I have a personal responsibility to make sure, A, that what I say is consistent with what I believe, and that, B, I respect other people who may believe differently from me. And I set a very high standard for myself to not attack another person who disagrees with me. And I just think it's terrible that we allow something like that to become the norm, because it is not helpful. It's not the first time in our country that we've gone through it. The second and third presidencies in our country were among the worst in history, but that should not be our norm. And that's my point. It's a whole other issue than what I've been hearing.
Yeah,
how we engage in public discourse and how we reward people who do so.
Thank you. Thanks, Val, for the comment. And I only raised the point I did was because I think you may disqualify all people in politics if no ad hominems was sort of your baseline. But
right.
Val's greater point is, what does that say about the state of our discourse? That's fair.
No, it's important on college campuses, not just here at Fisher, but across locally and across the country. This is a frequent conversation. How do we talk to people we might disagree with? How do we what does that free exchange of ideas look like in the classroom, at campus events, between student groups? This is a widespread issue right now, and certainly it's become this way politically across the country in ways that it's often very hard to watch TV, to watch the news, to watch press conferences. Mm-hmm. It's dispiriting.
Zach, how does your generation get news these days?
Well, being a media management major, I can answer that, I think, a little bit.
I'm not asking you to speak for an entire generation of millennials, but I'm curious.
You know, it's mainly through Twitter, because it's instantaneous, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. We're generally not watching TV, and I agree with you. I'll turn on the 11 o'clock television, and it's difficult to watch on some days. But they're straying away from it completely, and I think it's safe to say is that the awareness of the city and everything that's going around them, they're not listening anymore. And that's extremely unfortunate. But I would say Facebook and Twitter and social media, absolutely, that's where they're getting it from.
All right, let me jump back on the phone to Alfred in Rochester. Go ahead, Alfred.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, thanks.
Okay, great. First, I just wanted to applaud the professors at Fisher for doing this. I grew up in New York City. I was there for Giuliani's tenure. We're forgetting a lot of things about him. Number one, to quote what Steve just said, free exchange of ideas. Giuliani did more than any person that I had seen in my entire life in New York City. That was 27 years. To suppress that, he set up so many structures that stripped poor people of rights he essentially wiped out, by physically and forcibly moving a lot of homeless people physically out of where they were living. Gentrification exploded during Giuliani's time. He certainly laid the foundations for Bloomberg. I don't think he should be rewarded in any way. And I think, of course, you know, as the professor said, they're probably not going to stop him from being there. But I disagreed with the caller who said earlier, we should be the accepting party, which I disagree with. Giuliani was never somebody who would stand for equal discourse. He never proposed that we have a rational discussion about things. Take 9/11 out of the picture. He was an awful mayor for most people who lived in New York City. So I think we can't forget his historic, forget personal attacks or ideological things. He was actually just an absolutely terrible person when it came to managing a city which had primarily people of color, people in poverty.
Alfred, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I've never lived in New York City. I was there on Saturday, but I love the city. I've never lived there. I am not qualified to evaluate Rudy Giuliani's tenure as mayor. But here is a comment that we got from Keith on the web that just came in, who said, in regard to students of color, they should stand up and applaud Mr. Giuliani on Saturday. The drop in the murder rate in New York City during the 90s was most significantly felt in neighborhoods of color. Dozens and dozens of mothers in those areas of the city did not have to bury their children as a result of Giuliani's administrative policies. Sad that that is never acknowledged. It sounds like you disagree with that strongly.
Well, look at the arrest record. Sure, they weren't burying people. They were imprisoning them.
Okay.
The crime rate dropped drastically.
Yeah, and look, I have to say, Alfred, I absolutely appreciate the phone call, and I can't adjudicate his record. I just don't have the qualification to do that. But let me read one other email that just came in, and this is from Philip in Rochester. Writes, Dear Mr. Dawson, first, as I'm sure you're aware, the kerfuffle regarding Mayor Giuliani is not a First Amendment issue, as that relates to the government forbidding speech. This may be relevant at a state college, but not St. John Fisher. Academic institutions should encourage a wide variety of views to broaden the minds of their students and the broader community. Tenure for professors is important to foster this atmosphere. Fostering many views can, however, create problems with negative associations, such as providing a platform for a controversial speaker, which can imply endorsement. So it is understandable that some professors and other members of the St. John Fisher community do not want to associate Fisher with Giuliani's past comments. When Mr. Giuliani said President Obama doesn't love America, he crossed the line of legitimate debates and should be disqualified from further public forums, be they commencement addresses or Sunday talk shows. That is Philip in Rochester. So what we have seen is a wide view of, a wide range of views this hour. The last one I'll read is an email from apparently a St. John Fisher student asked me not to use their names and said that many students were happy about this Saturday and they were concerned that these nearly 50 professors were trying to ruin their commencement. And I know you've heard that. And I know that's a strong term to the professors in the room. Jenna Rossi, are you trying to ruin anybody's commencement?
No. And I have two comments here. So the first is about the commencement itself. These are the kinds of things that were discussed. People deciding to quietly not attend the ceremony but be outside in the atrium afterward. People deciding to wear a button that's about an inch big, whether it's respect in elements of our creed or Black Lives Matter. Those are the kinds of things. So we kept it, I think the thing that's getting not said, and I hear so many comments that seem calling us, you know, obscure professors, backwater college, kerfuffle. I hear this, people saying you're taking yourselves too seriously. I'm not fighting for myself because honestly, it's not my commencement. What I feel, and I'm speaking for myself, not any other person. But first of all, you can't categorize all students of color, families of color, faculty and staff of color in the same category. So that's not all the same. But what I'm seeing is we care in our campus. I'll say this about my reflection of our campus. Fisher cares about their students. Teachers are overwhelmingly caring about pedagogy, about race and gender, sexual disability, issues of equality, Title IX, an education for everybody that is fair and just and equal opportunity, and to keep our students on campus and give them, you know, the tools to have a really great and wonderful life afterward. So it what I feel like people are totally missing, these are dedicated professors who go out of their way to meet with students, plan syllabi that matter, connect to issues that are relevant today. And we felt sort of this, or I felt that the pulse of what's going on, it would be a disservice, I feel, to not pay attention to that because of our students and because of their families. Whether or not an individual student might care or not. Graduation, I was more worried about bobby pins and where my friends were and is my cap staying on straight. That's what I remember. Right. So that's fine, too.
Well, 30 seconds to wrap it up from Stephen and Zach. Go ahead, Stephen, some final thoughts.
Sure. You know, I'm very sympathetic to the students being concerned about their experience, and that's been foremost in my mind. I am also concerned about the notion of as I think we said earlier, what does it mean to ruin my experience or our experience? Who's the us? And that's really important to me as a member of what we called earlier, and Zach, you said it too, the Fisher family. How can we be as inclusive of all those people's experiences and perspectives as we can? Our concern here is that this is a person who is divisive rather than someone who unites.
Zach, final thoughts from you as a student looking ahead to Saturday, and maybe on the tenor of this conversation. I at least appreciate the fact that we've got some disagreement on the broader issues, but I think a lot of respect across the table.
Very much.
I don't think that you guys are trying to hinder our experience from commencement whatsoever. I think that you, me personally, you guys have played a crucial role and my junior and senior year at Fisher, whether it was professors in the media and communications department or even outside of that, they do care. They will go the extra. That you give them an inch and they'll take you the rest of the mile. And it's very good to have that as a junior and senior in college. You know, I really do hope to see change eventually, but I'm very excited for Saturday.
Well, I know you are, and congratulations to you on
Absolutely.
Graduation.
Thank you. Yeah,
a 2+2 student, you said?
Yep, 2+2.
Well, you've come a long way, and
thank you.
Great to see you. Maybe we'll see you in media here in Rochester.
Yeah,
as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Zach Cedrilli, a St. John Fisher student. Stephen Brower, a St. John Fisher English professor. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us, yes.
And Jenna Rossi, St. John Fisher American Studies professor. Thank you for
your
time.
Thank you.
And for all the phone calls and comments online. A lot of talk about this issue, but I think what we saw in this conversation at least is this. We can disagree respectfully, and to Val's greater point, you didn't hear any ad hominems at this table, even if there's some disagreement. That's a good goal of this program. Short break, and let's lighten the mood. Let's talk Star Wars next hour.